Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. I forgot to tell you something I'd Survive related. I saw someone tag us in a little TikTok where it was like people being like, recommend to me your favorite spooky podcasts for fall.
Wait,
and
really?
Someone was like, go listen to Cassie and Caitlin's I'd Survive. And I was like, wait, that's so nice. That's so cute. So whoever did that, thank you.
Shout out to that person. That is so nice. Oh, thanks. Oh, people listen to the podcast? Oh.
It's so crazy because it's the least, like, we're used to Twitch where we're talking back and forth with people.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to YouTube videos that get full of a pretty decently large comment sections.
Yep.
And so, like, the podcast, I feel like, is the most silent listeners.
Right.
And so when I see things like that, it's just so cool.
Yeah. That is so crazy.
Yeah. Aww.
Thanks for, like, listening and stuff, guys. That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Outside of that, how are you doing? What's up? Let me just say, we haven't watched anything.
She doesn't know.
Yeah, we haven't watched any horror movies, so I'm not going to ask her what you watch. We've been busy.
Yeah, we are failing the horror community. It took a second for me to think of that word. That's
fine. Where we're at right now. So. It's okay.
I'm still in my manic productive phase, which is great.
Okay.
I think it's being driven by spooky season because I'm so excited for spooky season.
Heck yeah.
Whenever I don't have a horror movie to talk about, sometimes I think it's fun to talk about personal horrors in my life.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's super cute.
Yeah, I think so. And so I would like everyone to know that for like 4 days in a row, probably, my eye kept on stinging randomly.
Oh, cute.
And it was concerning. And eventually I got to the point where I looked in the mirror and started moving my eye around in there to see what was going on.
Ooh.
And I found a karma hair in the back of my eyeball.
Oh!
So.
Ow.
I didn't need to watch a horror movie this week, actually.
Oh, my God. It was like that for multiple days?
For days. Isn't that crazy?
That
you would think, because it wasn't constant. It wasn't constant stinging, like, oh, my God, I can't open my eye.
Yeah.
Like, it was so weird. It was, like, so back there that, like, I think every once in a while it would just move in a certain way. And that would cause stinging. It was really easy to get out, though, thank God. I didn't, like, have – it wasn't crazy. It was just, like, I saw it and I just, like, touched my finger.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, came off onto my finger very easily.
It's so nice when, like, you find an eyelash or something and it does that. And it's just like, boop.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
This reminds me. I'll give you my terror. It was from a couple weeks ago. But I was, like, at my parents' house and I had my contacts in. And I was having allergies. So I kept rubbing my eyes.
Yeah.
And then, like, my eye started stinging a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what is that? And then I went and looked in the mirror. And I was, like, trying to look in my eye. And I was like, I don't see anything. And then I stepped away from the mirror and realized my contact wasn't in my eye.
Oh.
And I was like, where did it go? And then I felt my eyelid and it was like under my eyelid, tucked up top.
Yeah.
And I thought it was over. I was so scared.
Like,
you
ready for the emergency room?
Oh my God. I was able to just like pull my eyelid up and like get it out. But I was like, it's going back there. It's so.
Yeah. And I hear about that. No, I hear about that with people being like, I had like two contacts stuck in the back of my eye for like months. And then I didn't know. And I'm like, that's so crazy. But then the hair made me be like, is that possible? But I would know. I'd be like, hey, I can't see.
Okay, here's
so why
here's
can't
what,
I see?
No, I'm going to remind everybody, though, that Cassie doesn't have the best – I don't want to say – eye hygiene sounds incorrect. Eye care?
Sure. Basically, I don't take my contacts out ever.
She sleeps in them.
Yeah.
That is
– And I have been for like 15 years
her.
Now.
Yes, and I continue to – sorry. I get really passionate about this.
A lot
I'm
of
like,
people
please
do.
Please don't do that. It's so bad.
And I know. And I know I shouldn't.
I know you know.
And sometimes I go through phases where I'm like, oh, I'm taking them out every night. And then I always just get lazy again.
Fall back into it. Oh, you stress me out. That's the biggest area of your life where you stress me out.
Definitely.
You not taking your contacts out.
Yeah. Which could be worse.
Yeah.
Like I could be getting on boats with strangers or whatever.
I don't know anyone who would do that. So like, luckily, we're good. That's fine. I'm never going to live that down.
No.
That's
so
everyone's
going to
be like, remember when you did that? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, I guess technically I did watch one horror movie.
Oh.
I mean, that was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now. It was a movie called Willy's Wonderland.
Oh my gosh, it was 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, yep. I did watch that a while ago. But this has been, I have a little private letterbox list of like potential podcast films.
Yes.
And this one's been sitting on there for a while, but I was like, Cassie's probably seen this, right? So I send it to her and I'm like, have you seen this? And she's literally like, I don't remember exactly what you said, but yeah. It was essentially along the lines of, what the fuck? No.
Yes.
What is this? I was like, oh, perfect.
I'd never heard of it, but I love the sound of it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the cover itself is very captivating, very colorful. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go ahead and watch it. And it was the kind of film where as I'm watching it, I have the podcast in mind, of course, and I'm like back and forth. I'm like, yes, no, wait, well,
yes.
You know, sometimes that's the way it goes. And I eventually landed on, you know what? This would be a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here to talk about Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So my assumption is that there's a man named Willy.
Okay. Yep.
And Wonderland, you think Alice in Wonderland. So it's going to be this crazy horror Wonderland. And I'm wondering if he's going to be taking kind of the place. I just don't know if Willy is going to be like the Red Queen in charge or the Queen of Hearts or whatever.
Right.
Or if he's going to be like taking over the Alice character.
Oh, sure. Right.
Oh, God.
Okay.
By your face, it could be neither. So this should be interesting.
I'm like not going to actually say some of the things I was going to say because I thought it was obvious. Actually, I say it in the third line of my script.
Okay.
So we'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
But before we do, let's talk a little about the film itself. So Willy's Wonderland was written by G.O. Parsons and directed by Kevin Lewis, both of whom are best known for this very project.
Mm.
The script caught the attention of the Nicolas Cage, who agreed to participate as both the lead actor in the film and the producer.
So I'm just imagining him as long legs.
Why would you do that?
Wait, is that not Nicolas Cage?
No, it is, but why would you bring that up right now?
I was about to find out that that's not even Nicolas Cage.
Did you imagine? Oh, yeah, actually, this is the prequel to Long Legs.
Oh, my God.
No, but yes, Nick Cage is here. He's everywhere sometimes and we just go yes, okay.
Yeah.
So this film was planned to release initially in theaters in October of 2020.
Oh.
But due to pandemic stuff was released via video on demand.
Sure.
So the
Speaking of video on demand, I'm so sorry, I have to say something.
Please do.
Soulmate, the third, well, it's like the third slash the offspring of the Megan franchise.
Oh.
Soulmate is on VOD right now.
I didn't know this
existed. It was supposed to release in theaters like in January. And then it got pulled. And now as of like the past month, it just went directly to VOD. And I'm like, what happened? I don't really want to pay $20 for it, but I do want to see it.
Yeah, I know nothing about this. So that sounds interesting because is it made by the same people who did Megan?
Yeah.
Because, like, those were big movies.
I know. I'm very confused.
Huh.
Maybe I'm wrong about something. Obviously, correct me if I'm wrong on Discord, but.
Sure. Huh. Interesting.
I'm confused about the whole situation. Yeah. Anyways.
I'll look into that.
VOD Club.
VOD Club. So, the film did eventually have a very limited theater release, but its $5 million budget ended up grossing $500,000.
Oh, man.
So it didn't do what it was meant to do. Whether or not it would have without the pandemic, like, who knows? I mean, Nick Cage is on it, so that's a poll for people for sure.
Yeah.
Before we jump into the meat of the film, just a quick reminder that we do have video versions of the podcast over on Patreon, along with some bonus content. You can also check us out on Instagram and Discord, where you can fill out an interactable version of the worksheet along with us to get your own score. All of these links can be found in the description of this episode if you're interested. All right, are you ready?
I don't know.
About Willy's Wonderland.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Our film begins with a shot of an old television playing a tape from Willy's Wonderland. A cast of animatronic animals sing their happy birthday song. And before you ask,
Okay. Because whoa.
I would like for you to think along the lines of Chuck E. Cheese, Five Nights at Freddy's,
right,
and Showbiz Pizza Place.
Showbiz Pizza Place.
Don't
oh my God,
started.
What is that?
Okay, we can't talk about this right now, but like Showbiz Pizza Place and Chuck E. Cheese have such a crazy history where like the two guys who made those initially worked together and then they branched off and made their own versions and they were competitors and it's like dramatic. And there's like some really fun videos about it on YouTube and I recommend checking those out. They're really fun. But it was essentially the same thing as Chuck E. Cheese. But because we're in the horror sphere, you're also going to be thinking Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
Flash from the TV, song still playing, to a woman wearing a Willy's Wonderland t-shirt splattered in what looks like blood. Both she and the man she's with are looking panicked, scared, something is not right. They're crouched in a dark hallway when we hear a loud growl-like sound. The couple grab each other's hands and start running. They turn down another hall when suddenly the man falls to the ground and is dragged backward by something we cannot see. The woman calls out for Carl, but it's too late. She keeps running and ends up in the central room of the establishment. It's a large room full of overturned tables and chairs. Posters line the walls. Again, very Chuck E. Cheese looking. Mm-hmm. You get the picture. The lights begin to blow out above the woman as she stumbles around, and we get a quick shot of her glancing inside another room where we can see a small child hiding with tears on her cheeks. Take a look back at the old TV, tape still playing. A scream rings out, blood splashes across the screen, and we cut to a car driving down the highway. I can't get over it. I really just can't.
I don't think my next movie has this trope.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank God.
Good. We gotta do something about
it. Actually, it definitely doesn't. It has a wild opener.
I don't even remember what you're doing. But okay, guys, guess who just reminded me? Yeah. Wow, we're gonna have two fun weeks together. Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
It's gonna be interesting.
So this car is a sports car. I ended up doing research, but initially, well, in parentheses, I wrote, I think, I don't know cars, wait, JK, it's a Camaro, I guess.
So that's a Toyota? we don't know.
That's a great question. I had to ask my dad. I was like, is a Camaro a nice sports car? And he was like, not really. And I was like, okay. Oh,
I think my stepdad used to have a Camaro.
Yeah.
He really loved it.
I think it's just like a budget-friendly sports car kind of vibe. But this thing is flying down the highway. It's drifting around like turns. It's quite reckless.
Wow.
It's
cars.
There's a car stop. It's so cool.
Sports cars.
Guys are so cool with their cars. Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. Suddenly the car's front tires go out and the driver is forced to stop. A man gets out to examine the damage. Tires completely busted. He walks a little ways down the road and finds some literal spike chains. I guess they're called zigzags. Find that out later. They were left on the road, and they caused the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Bro picks them up, and he throws them in his trunk, where we see he has a whole stash of these punch drinks. And they look – I think they're just soda, but they kind of give, like, energy drink vibes. He's just got a shit ton of them in his trunk.
Okay.
He grabs one, pops it open, and takes a big swig before standing there next to his car for essentially the entire day.
Oh.
And this message is achieved with one shot where it's like we're looking at his boots and it's like as if the sun is like moving because his shadow moves, and it moves the entire thing in like 2 seconds.
I'm shocked that someone hasn't come to kill him.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So now we finally see him, and this is Nick Cage, and he is given Mr. Cool Guy vibes. He's got his dark shades on, he's got a mustache and like very neatly shaven stubble situation going on. He wears boots, dark jeans, a t-shirt, and a cool jacket.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like super cool.
Wow.
Please say that all the time during this episode. I think you will.
Oh boy.
Eventually, a tow truck drives by, and Nick literally just walks right in front. Oh, I forgot to say, he's never given a name, so I'm just going to call him Nick.
Okay, yeah, valid.
Because, like, I'm not going to say the man the whole time, so
right.
I'm going to call him Nick. So Nick, he just walks right in front of it so that it stops, and he's, like, doing it in, like, a way where I expect you to stop for me. I'm too cool.
Right.
Like, you're gonna, yeah. So then we just cut to him in the car, and he's with this other man named Jed. And Jed's telling Nick how some kids stole the Zigzags out of the sheriff's truck recently, and they must have thrown it on the road for some shits and giggles. But he's going to take him over to the shop and help him out. Jed asks Nick where he's from, and he just simply stares back at Jed. Jed rambles on and on about how, yes, he must be the kind of guy who just doesn't want to remember his past. He totally gets it. And honestly, Jed just rambles at Nick the entire way to the mechanic, and Nick does not say a single word.
Mood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk.
Me neither. Yeah. I feel that. Intense music kicks in as we cut to a young girl named Liv as she tosses gasoline all over the building that is Willy's Wonderland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
you're understanding where we're at now?
Perhaps.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
A tiny bit. The place looks abandoned, but the rainbow sign featuring the mascot, Willy the Weasel, still remains over the entrance.
Okay.
So Willy is not a man, but a weasel.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
How you didn't guess that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Liv pulls out a lighter and is about to drop the flame when a siren sounds just behind her. She rolls her eyes before being cuffed and thrown into the back of the cruiser in like three quick shots. The car pulls up to a home in a trailer park, and Sheriff Lund jumps out and is in a verbal argument with Liv in the back, but Liv is not holding back at all. The sheriff goes to walk Liv inside when Jed drives by. He slows down to tell the sheriff that this guy Nick had the misfortune of finding her zigzags for her. While Jed and Sheriff Lund talk about what happened, Nick and Liv share this weird, intense eye contact moment. It's really strange.
Oh.
This movie loves like a moment where characters lock eyes and the camera slowly pan like zooms in on both of them.
Okay.
They do that like five times throughout the film.
Interesting.
So this is the first one. But Jed drives off and the sheriff brings Liv inside, and we're now clued into the fact that they are very well acquainted and maybe even family. Liv demands the cuffs be taken off her, and Lund says there ain't no way she's leaving this trailer tonight. She chains Liv to the radiator with the other cuff and says she'll be back in the morning. And also, I feel like I should say Liv is high school age.
That's the age
we're dealing with the kids. Liv is like, okay, well, what if I need to eat or take a piss?
Yeah.
There are chips on the coffee table and a bucket on the floor. Try not to make a mess, Lund says before heading outside. You're a bitch, Liv yells out behind her. Love you too, responds Lund. So clearly we have an interesting dynamic between these two.
Yeah.
Over at the mechanic shop, Jed is looking at stuff under the hood of the Camaro while Nick takes a look around. On one wall, he discovers a bulletin board full of missing posters. He just studies them until he's interrupted by Jed. Gonna be about $250 for the tow, and you'll need all four tires replaced. Total's gonna come out to about $1,000. Nick silently pulls out his wallet and goes to hand his credit card over to Jed. Jed throws his hands up. Oh, no, no, cash only and in advance. Nick looks across the room at the ATM, which has an out-of-order sign on it. And Jed's like, oh, yeah, that old thing. We don't have internet here in Hayesville.
Okay.
And Nick again.
I gotta go.
It's like, okay, I'm out of here. Nick again just stares. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, he does not speak at all.
Yeah.
Ever. Just does not speak.
Is there ever a reason uncovered for that?
No.
Oh, all right.
He just doesn't talk.
That's fine.
That's just his character. It's very strange.
Okay.
Jed realizes that Nick does not have the cash on him, but asks him, well, would you be willing to work it off? And Nick just gives a slight nod. So Jed's like, okay. And he makes a quick phone call. Hey, kid, I got a guy for you, he says over the phone. Nick grabs a burlap sack out of his car, and off they go to Willy's Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
There's a man there waiting for them. His name is Tex, and he wears a white suit jacket and a white cowboy hat. He really thinks he's a big shot here. And Tex introduces himself to Nick and welcomes him to Willy's Wonderland. Nick looks around at the graffiti covering the building. It says things like kid killers and gateway to hell.
Okay.
Which is really welcoming.
Who's the target audience, do you think, of Willy's Wonderland?
Definitely like elementary school kids.
Okay.
Yeah, like a Chuck E. Cheese.
And we're there right now?
Yes, and it's been graffiti.
And it's talking about, oh, I thought this was purposeful art.
No. This
and
is
I was
like
maybe maybe we should work on the,
our marketing.
The PR. Yeah.
No.
That's right. No, this is what the girl, did the girl do this? We
she
don't know.
She may have.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it's just, yeah, it's graffiti. It's vandalism. Oh, so Tex, he tells us that the business isn't what it used to be, but he wants to reopen Willy's Wonderland and make it bigger and better than ever. So what does Nick have to do with this? Well, if he spends the night here and cleans up the place, Tex will pay for his car's repairs, and Nick has a moment with the weasel. Okay, I forgot
okay.
about that. So Nick has
okay. a moment. Help.
Nick has like an intense moment with the weasel up on the sign. Like he looks up at it, and he's staring at it, and then he pulls down his sunglasses and he like looks at it. And then he pulls his sunglasses back up and he looks at Tex and then he shakes on the deal.
Okay.
Yeah, really intense sure. stuff. So Tex and Nick head into the building so that Tex can show him around a bit. And once they head in, Jed mutters like a good luck, mister, behind their backs. So like Jed knows something's up here. The first thing that Tex is going to show Nick is a tape that introduces us to the cast of characters that reside here within Willy's Wonderland.
Oh, good.
So let's meet them.
Yes.
We have Willy the Weasel, Artie the Alligator, Siren Sarah, Cammy the Chameleon, Gus Gorilla, Nighty Knight, spelled with a K-N,
wow.
Ozzy the Ostrich, and Tito the Turtle.
That's a lot going on here.
Yes, there's a lot of these animatronic special friends.
Yes.
Which is great that there's so many of them. We love that.
How do
and
they
yes,
look?
My next line.
Oh.
And yes, every one of them is just as terrifying as you could possibly imagine.
Ooh, so they look like in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. They, yeah. well,
Oh.
They're terrifying in the way where like old children's things just look
just
so
always are.
Scary
yeah.
for no reason.
Yeah.
Even if you look at like Showbiz, Pizza Time, and Chuck E. Cheese when they first opened, their animatronics were horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was just no need for them to be looking like that. And these follow in the footsteps
Got
of those
it.
Establishments. The tape also shows images of kids having fun at Willy's, celebrating birthdays, eating cake and hot dogs. It's a grand old time. And Tex is sure to tell us about it. The good old days of Willy's Wonderland. He walks us up to the front of the room where the stage is set and all of the characters are still in their places. But now they're dirty, destroyed, and even more horrifying than before. Tex tells us what happened here and why they shut down. Some kids decided to climb all over the animatronics, and of course, they got hurt. In came the lawsuits, and it shut them down. Tex and Nick go to walk away, and behind them, we see Willy the Weasel straighten his neck and stand up a bit taller. Nick hears the creaking and turns to look back, but Willy is frozen once again. So anyway, Tex...
Andy's what? Coming.
Andy's coming. So true. Tex shows Nick where to get all the cleaning supplies and even gives him a Willy's Wonderland t-shirt. Congratulations, you are officially on staff, Tex says. I kind of want one of these shirts, I'm not going to lie. They definitely sold them at one point. And it's like a penny tee vibe. I just, I'm like, yes, I would like one. It's
Love
just
that.
Willy's Wonderland. So Tex says his goodbyes to Nick and tells him he'll be back with the car in the morning. And on his way out, he locks the entrance with chains and a padlock
okay.
on the outside.
Okay. We yep. are being left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like cut in this explanation any direction at all of what exactly we're supposed to be doing? Like he's just like, clean up. Like, is
Pretty
that
much.
Really it? That's it. Okay. So just clean, goodbye.
Clean it up.
Oh my God.
Clean it up. Bye.
How That's are we it. Supposed to get out? Do we have a key to lock up?
No. So he just says that he'll be back in the morning.
Oh, we're working like the all night. Okay.
All night long.
I don't remember agreeing to that, but that's fine.
Yeah, Nick just is kind of like, sure, sounds good without yeah. saying sure, sounds good because yeah. he doesn't speak. But
wow. And then yeah. the chain and padlock situation is just excessive.
Yeah. I don't know that Nick even – no, he doesn't. He doesn't realize that that's even done.
Okay.
But Tex just does that, you know, on his way out. Tex and Jed attempt to smoke a couple cigars outside, but when the lighter refuses to light, Tex throws it against the dumpster and says they should get out of here because, quote, I can't stand to hear a grown man scream. Well, over at the trailer park, Liv's friends have arrived and intend on breaking her out. She's got five friends here, and it is definitely the kind of vibes where it does not matter too much who is who, so don't get stressed if you can't keep track. But the five characters that we have here are Kathy, Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Aaron. They are your classic group of horror ensemble cast characters, and they are semi-bickering about the best way to get Liv out of her cuffs. Should they use a saw? The keys? Should they find the keys? Maybe a screwdriver? And while the men are scouring the trailer, looking for a way to get her out, Kathy, she's blowing bubbles with her pink bubblegum. She walks up to Liv and uses her bobby pin to easily let Liv out.
Perfect.
Exactly. Liv clears her throat to alert the guys to the fact that they can stop looking now, and then she tells them that they have to get going. She saw the bait already. Kathy and Bobby are kind of excited for the night. They find this entertaining, but Liv reminds them that they're doing this because it's what's right, not because it's like a fun game for them. And the group's like, yeah, yeah, okay, whatever. And they decide to lock on in and head over to Willy's Wonderland. Side note, we discover that Bobby and Kathy are a thing, so good for them. Well, Nick, he's just doing his thing. He's got his spray bottle, a rag, and a dream.
Very House Flipper of him.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And he's just cleaning away. He's having a good time. He's scrubbing the jukebox. He's fixing some lights, sweeping the floors, you name it. And at one point, Nick is clearing the trash off the tables in the main area. And behind him, in the background, we can see all of the animatronics start to move a little bit at a time. Of course, again, Nick hears some of the creaking, but when he turns around, they've all stopped again. Next on Nick's list is the kitchen. Now, luckily the fridge is working, so he goes ahead and empties his burlap sack of sodas into it.
Oh my god.
Very vitally important, because the timer he set on his watch earlier, which I didn't mention, but it doesn't matter, it just goes off, and he cracks open a punch and downs it. And I don't know if he's that serious about his soda or if it's like a diabetic thing, but it seems like, oh, the timer went off, gotta drink a soda.
Got it.
But whatever works. When he finishes his soda, he looks over to the corner of the kitchen where some kind of arcade cabinet is covered in a big white cloth. Nick is curious, so he pulls back the sheet. Underneath is a dusty old Willy's Wonderland pinball machine.
Ooh.
He seems pretty intrigued, but he doesn't have time for that right now.
I used to love a pinball machine at the bowling alley.
Yes. Yeah. Pinball's so fun. I'm just really bad at it.
Me too. I never won anything.
did you ever play the pinball that was like on the old Windows PCs?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes. That was awesome. I used to love that so much.
I was really bad at that too.
Yeah.
I'm just like imagining the amount of times I watched the ball just very like in slow motion just fall right between my two things. And I'm like,
right
okay,
down the middle. And you're like, I guess that's fine. So Nick heads back to the main area where he's mopping the floors. And then a light kicks on over the stage. Nick doesn't notice, but Ozzy the ostrich shakes awake. All right.
Ew. Not a shake.
He's like, ooh. Yeah, he gives a little, ooh. Like an ostrich would, I guess.
Of course.
So Nick continues mopping the floor when suddenly Ozzy is just right behind him. Nick turns around and is now face to face with his animatronic come to life. He doesn't flinch. He stares it down for a moment before giving it like a light hit to the stomach with his mop. And the ostrich like just stands there and they're just kind of looking at each other. So Nick like hits it a couple more times. But then Ozzy shakes its head and says, I'm going to feast on your face.
Oh, They speak. I'm going to feast on your face. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And then it lunges right for a very fucking chill Nicolas Cage, by the way. He's like, okay. Yeah. So he uses his mop to like block the ostrich's attacks. And they go back and forth at one another, bobbing, weaving, blocking. And the ostrich then headbutts Nick and leaves a nice big gash on his cheek.
Oh.
Nick's seen enough. He breaks the mop in two on his knee and then uses the two sticks to beat the ostrich on the neck. And the ostrich tries to fight back, but really is no match for Nick, who swings a stick at Ozzy's feet, sending him to the ground. Nick mounts the ostrich and beats him repeatedly with the sticks on the ground. Ozzy moans and cries as the stick makes contact with his face over and over. Oil resembling blood splatters around the room. Eventually, Ozzy goes limp and Nick reaches his hand in the ostrich's neck and pulls out its mechanical spine. R.I.P. Okay. Ozzy the ostrich.
All right. Imagine being nonchalant when an animatronic ostrich attacks you. That's crazy.
It's really... I think the reason this film works is because Nick Cage just doesn't care.
It's just, yeah.
His character is just like, okay, boom. Like, yeah. Whatever. He's not screaming or running. He's very chill about the entire situation.
Yeah, but like, what's going on? Like, do we get an answer as to what's happening?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay,
good. We will definitely talk about it. He's chill, but he is a little messy. So he goes into the back room and just changes into a new shirt so that he can be nice and clean.
That's nice.
Over at the police station, we've got Sheriff Lund and this young cop named Evan. And we learn from Evan that the sheriff requested backup tonight, the backup being Evan, and he doesn't understand why. He's puzzled and amused, but doesn't mind the overtime pay. There's a bit of an awkward tension as the two of them kind of sit. They're sitting at one tiny desk in a tiny room. And Evan's like, so what's the plan for the rest of the evening? We're going to sit here and pray that phone don't ring, Lund replies. Oh, God, wait. I have to ask if you know the actress who plays Sheriff Lund, because she's in a lot of stuff.
Ooh, fun.
And I love her. She's a comedy and horror person.
Okay.
What's her name? Her name is Beth Grant.
The name doesn't sound familiar, but let me see her.
She's in, like, one of my favorite Criminal Minds episodes. She's in The Office. She's in...
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, so many things. Donnie Darko. She's in, like, everything.
I do recognize her face, but it's, like, hazy, and it's, like, probably five different random things I've seen her in, you know?
Right.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just, like, a really good actress who I think is very fun.
Yeah.
So that's her. Fun fact.
Aw, I wonder if this would have done well if it got its theater release.
I know, right?
Or just better. Probably not the biggest movie of all time, but you know what I mean?
Right. And it's, we'll talk more at the end, but yeah, no, it's really interesting. So Evan continues to be confused, but he's just going to go along with it. Like, whatever, why not? Back at Willie's, Nick slaps a piece of duct tape over his wound and throws Ozzy's body into multiple trash bags.
Did we just talk about...
Yes.
What was that?
Hunted.
Oh my God. People, we need to stop the duct tape.
Yes.
It's really traumatizing.
I'm like, why did I watch two movies in a row where people are putting duct tape on open wounds?
Yes,
like, can we not do that? Is that a thing? Why am I seeing this? Everybody stop. So Nick is like, all right, let me go bring these trash bags out front. But the doors are locked. So Nick just throws the trash bags on the floor.
Crazy. That's the thing. Like, we're... Locking us in when you want us to clean stuff out, like what's the logic here?
Right.
Well, they must know. I think he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about the situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really rude not to warn us.
I know. Why would he do? Crazy. Yeah. But then Nick's watch goes off, so he's got to get another punch. While he's back in the kitchen drinking his punch, he decides to clean off the pinball machine. It's looking real good. But unfortunately, next up is the men's restroom. We get ourselves a time-lapse style montage of Nick scrubbing every surface, including the graffiti-covered walls, until the place is spotless.
Bro, when I tell you I was a janitor back in the high school,
mm-hmm.
the boys' bathrooms was the worst.
Yes.
Like, what are you guys doing?
Literally.
Be better.
Literally.
I imagine men's restrooms must be much better. Like, boys' restrooms?
Boys, yeah.
Oh my God, what is happening in there? I don't want to know, actually. Never mind.
Right. I feel like boys and young men, because like in college,
yeah,
you'd go to an apartment where it's like the guys and their bathrooms are disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like, has anybody ever cleaned a single thing in this room?
I don't think so.
Like, it's so, like, I'm so sorry, but like, what are we doing?
Yep.
Let's get it together. Also, this is a cleaning job that would literally take a few days, but he does it in like less than an hour. And that's the nature of everything he's doing. It's like the cleaning he does over the course of this film would take a week at least, but he does it like overnight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So While he's working on the last few spots, he hears a song coming from the stage. And, well, yes, the entire crew has started singing.
Cool.
They're in their animatronic forms right now, and Nick doesn't seem like he's in the mood, so he just shuts the stage down. It's like, okay.
Yep.
But then he sees the bathroom door shut on its own. What was that? Nick goes in, and someone has written, "It's your birthday," on the mirror in either blood or ketchup. Honestly, it looks more like ketchup. Whatever okay. It is, Nick just cleans it off. "Let's play hide and seek," a loud deep Help. Voice says behind him as the bathroom stalls all slam shut one after the other. "You'll never find me." Nick tosses his rag into the sink, more annoyed than anything else.
Yep.
"I'm going to eat your eyes out and then feast on your soul."
No. Why are they like this? Like, just kill me. You don't have to say all that.
They're having so much fun, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick starts kicking in the bathroom stalls, and the voice has some fun playing hot and cold with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then Nick reaches the final stall, and no one is there. How strange. Mm-hmm. Until a giant gorilla, his name is Gus, he swings from the ceiling and into Nick. "Ha ha ha, gorilla greetings."
Laughs. That was the best thing I've ever seen. I want that like as a Twitch alert. I don't know when it would be used. It doesn't matter.
We're going to have to add that one in. Oh, my God. So, yeah, the gorilla lunges at Nick. And yes, thus ensues a fight sequence between Nick Cage and an animatronic gorilla named Gus. And Nick is punching him. And the gorilla is like low-key just wrapping him up in like a big hug. Oof. And then the gorilla's like, "Ha, ha, ha, that tickles."
Oh, my
and
God.
Gus picks up Nick and throws him into a bathroom stall. And the door closes. And Gus, like, pounds his fists on his chest. He's like, "Yeah, victory." But nah. Nick emerges from the stall with a plunger and presses against Gus's lips, slamming him back. I know, right? It's disgusting. Slams him back into the wall. And then Nick's repeatedly hitting Gus with a plunger. And mind you, it's making that plunger popping sound every time.
Oh, my God.
So it's really funny.
Yeah.
But Nick manages to throw Gus to the ground. And then he shoves Gus's head into a urinal.
Ugh.
"I thought we were friends." Oh my God, it kind of sounded like Obsession for a second. I scared myself.
Oh my God.
"I thought we were having a nice day."
Every "I thought" sentence is forever cursed. I'm like,
triggered.
Yeah.
So Nick goes ahead, he lifts his foot into the air and stomps on Gus's head over and over, like into the urinal. And there's oil flying everywhere, all over this newly cleaned bathroom, by the way.
Annoying.
Just so sad.
Yeah.
But RIP Gus, the gorilla.
Right. Okay.
So Nick just duct tapes his. Are you crossing off Gus the gorilla?
Yes, I am. Okay. I wrote them all down.
I'm glad.
So I know that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left.
Oh, yeah. I think
And I'm very curious about, well, Willie has to be the final boss. Yeah.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
So Nick, actually what he does here is he then takes his duct tape and duct tapes his entire torso. I don't know if he had cuts and he just wanted to cover him up with duct tape. But
as you do.
He did that. And then he puts on yet another clean shirt. And he bags up the gorilla pieces and places the corpse beside Ozzy by the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for another punch soda. So while he's sitting back there enjoying his drink, he also files his nails because that's important right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he plays some pinball and he is high key unbothered. And this is the end of Act One.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought with a title like Willy's Wonderland that we were going into Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare vibes.
Oh, yeah, that's what you thought, right.
And it was like a take on Alice in Wonderland, except it was a horror version, which has to exist.
If it doesn't, it's probably on its way.
Yeah.
You know.
But this is...
Yeah,
exactly. I actually am enjoying it.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I am glad. I have a solid 6 questions for you.
Okay.
And I feel like I know what the general gist of Act 1 is going to be here.
Okay.
I am going to be answering with you today because I forgot to fill these out ahead of time.
Yes.
So how unlikely are you to be a drifter?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be unless like all my family and friends died, which would be really traumatic. And maybe then I would if I was just like totally alone in the world. Like, what the fuck? Let me just walk around, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But hopefully that's not very likely. How unlikely am I to be a drifter? I would say a 93.
That's what I just put.
Beautiful.
I initially put 89 and then I thought about it and I said, nah, 93.
Yes, me too. Weird. I was thinking 80s and then I was like, let me just go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Would you carry $1,000 cash on you?
Yeah. I have before.
Oh my Lord.
I know. It's really bad, but like when I, sometimes it just happens.
Oh, it just happens. It's crazy, by the way.
Listen.
Oh my God.
A lot of the time, so this is the thing. I mean, wait, maybe I shouldn't say, I mean, I never have money on me.
You notice I said, would you carry $1,000 cash on you? Not, do you carry $1,000 cash on you?
Okay, starting now, I'm going to take it straight to the bank, okay? Sometimes I have like Christmas money and birthday money. Like Christmas money goes crazy sometimes. And then sure. I'm just like, I got to get to the bank. You know, it's like little things like that.
That's fair.
Where I just need to freaking get to the bank.
I get that. I think the last time I had that much cash on me was like high school graduation party.
Yeah, yeah. That would be an example.
That was around the time. And then I think I put like all my cash. Like I don't have cash on me like ever. I have maybe like $50 cash.
Yeah, me too usually.
Yeah.
I hate cash too.
I can't.
I'm very girl math with it where it's like, have you seen people ask like if you spend $5 on a drink from Starbucks, as if they're $5. If you spend $10 on a drink from Starbucks with cash, how much did it cost?
$0.
Exactly. I really think that way. So it's very dangerous when I have cash. I'm like, I really need to put it in the bank so that it feels real to me.
Right. And it's funny to me because I'm the same way where like cash isn't real money because I don't see the number in my bank account.
Yes.
But my dad's the opposite way. He finds it harder to part with cash than like using a credit card.
Oh my gosh.
To me, like, I don't know if that's like generational.
It's got
to
be.
But I'm
it's
like,
gotta
no,
be.
Cash is whatever.
Okay. Would I have $1,000 on me? Not anymore.
Never again.
But I would say, I guess I'll go 78.
Damn.
Yeah.
I put 9.
Yeah, that's
because
smart.
I'm very unlikely to. I mean, the only reason I'm even as high as 9 is because I'm like, maybe as a drifter, you'd have a higher chance of having more cash on you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, unlikely to have cash.
That's so true. Okay.
Would you refuse to clean up an abandoned establishment in exchange for $1,000 worth of repairs on your car?
Oh, it's kind of cool.
It's hard because like this is an activity I would enjoy.
Me too. I would do it with you. I don't know if I would do it alone, but like doing it with someone else because it is kind of fun, but doing it alone, I might be too scared.
I would just be afraid it was a trap. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's all these, I mean, it's a man with other men in this case. So it's different, you know, like Nick is a man. It's different.
Right.
Whereas like a woman doing that sounds insane.
Yes.
So I think it's
wouldn't.
A hard question.
I'm going to go like 84.
Okay.
Because of the alone factor.
And I think that's fair. I'm going 65.
That's okay. I'm not mad at you for that.
Right. Like, I really don't think I would do it. But I also understand, like, it's kind of a tough situation.
Yes.
So, like, that's the part of me that would do it. Like, oh, I really need my car.
Right.
Would you choose to stay back as opposed to trying to save Nick from Willy's? Now, I'm talking the perspective of the group of kids because they are on their way over.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
In a big friend group, I probably would go along.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I would say, would I stay back? No. I'm definitely under 50.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go like 32.
I did 26.
Yeah.
So, same range. Can you fight off a possessed animatronic ostrich named Ozzy with a mop?
And the fact that his name is Ozzy is very important to this question.
Exactly. That's why I included it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Corey will like that one when he makes the worksheet.
I hope he does.
Could I fight off Ozzy? They're, like, big and hefty, right?
These are big. Have you seen Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie?
I think I just watched your reaction, actually.
That's
but I know what they look like.
Yeah, they're big. These guys are not so much metal. There's a lot of, like, cushioning type.
Okay.
Fabric type stuff going on. I would say they're less intimidating than the FNAF ones, but they're still big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go I actually am going to go 49.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't know what to do. Do you know, like, with human beings, there's like, you go for the eyes and the ears and the true. And the balls. Like, mm-hmm. you know the trigger points. I'd be like, how do I even what do I even do?
Punch.
And I don't think I could break a mop on my knee.
Oh, I don't either.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's so true.
Which would probably be a critical moment. Yeah.
I mean, I gave myself a 31 because it's an animatronic.
Wow.
And I just don't know.
Yeah.
And also the way that they frame this Nick Cage character is just like, he's just fucking insane.
Right. You he's know? Too good.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the fight sequences are kind of funny because they mm-hmm. don't. They don't look great, so they do kind of look like the animatronics are just, like, slightly bumping into them.
And oh, that's hilarious.
It's funny. I don't mind it because this movie doesn't take itself seriously, so it's fine. But
yeah,
it is really funny. Okay. Very similar type of question. Can you fight off Gus with a plunger?
I think I would have a better chance with a plunger than I would a mop.
Sure.
Because the mop, the important thing is breaking it. But a plunger is a hefty situation, like, you don't got to break it. It's a pretty good weapon, actually.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I will say is Gus is like a lot bigger than
yeah Ozzie. Gorilla is more intimidating than ostrich.
Yeah,
mostly. I'm kind of freaked out by ostriches, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, IRL ostriches, yeah, they're freaky, those guys.
Uh-uh. Yeah,
no,
okay, but yeah, he's very strong. Yeah. I
you really got to think about this very important life question. It is. Cassie.
I'm gonna go 51.
Okay.
I'm gonna go 2% higher.
All right, I went 23, so I went
lower.
Down.
I really just feel like
that plunger.
I feel at home with the plunger.
Can we clip that out of context,
please? I think we should.
I feel at home with the plunger. Run with There's that one, ladies.
Apparently,
and
a lot of clips that belong on Twitch from this recording session
yes.
today.
You know, I wonder why. All right, I gotta do my own math now.
Okay, I think because they're so silly with their the way they talk.
Yeah,
it makes me feel like I can take them.
You know, that's fair.
Okay, I got a 65%.
All right, and I got a 41.
Okay.
So I feel like I was kind of thinking we were going to end up in the middle. So between the two of us,
yes.
we kind of ended up where I expected.
We've balanced it, yes.
Because it's the kind of thing where there are some decently... Actually, I didn't have like any real high ones except for the Drifter one. I figured neither
right.
of us were going to be Drifters.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were going to have the cash on you either, but...
and
you know,
I never... I mean it. I never will again. I'm going straight to the bank now that this has Good. Been said. Yes.
Now this has been said out loud. There is no more cash. Cash allowed.
Yeah.
All right, act two, here we come. Then the kids arrive at Willy's mm-hmm. Wonderland. They have their gas cans and are pouring it all around the outside of the building. Aaron is about to light the place up, but Liv is like, whoa, hold up, not yet. We gotta get that guy out first. Nick's just cleaning the oven when he hears a knock on a mostly boarded up window. It's Liv telling him that they have to get him out of there. It's not safe. Nick just looks at her and then walks away. The group argues, like, well, he doesn't want to be saved. He's rude. That's his problem. But Liv won't let an innocent person die. She insists that she has to go in and get the guy out.
Okay.
Chris is the only one to back her up. It seems clear, though, that he has a crush on her, so he's kind of going along with anything that she says, no matter what it is. And the rest of the group does see that. Liv says she's not going to put everyone else's lives in danger, though. She'll find a way in alone, and she just needs their help to get them out when it's time. Nick's still scrubbing that oven when he hears some clanking coming from the vents above. Liv has found her way inside via the vents and is crawling around up there. Unfortunately, Artie the alligator has also found his way up there.
Oh, dear.
He whips around the corner and is just behind Liv when she sees him. She starts crawling for her life until she reaches another opening in the vent. She has to kick away at Artie while she tries to remove the cover. She gets it loose and throws herself down onto the floor from the vent above. Artie sticks his head out of the vent, does a few big chomps, and then retreats back inside. Liv has fallen into a very immersive part of Willy's. It is decorated like a jungle, and the fog machines have just kicked on.
Mm.
It actually reminds me a lot of, for anyone who knows it, there's a section of Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach where you are in Monty's mini golf, And it's very much giving those same vibes for, to set the scene for anyone who knows that. Suddenly, Liv can hear some interesting, almost moans. And another reference for you, think the Great Fairy in Zelda. If you have met the Great Fairy. Have you met the Great Fairy?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, there's a fairy that does a lot of moaning. It's really special.
I wonder if that's what I'm about to do, like on Tuesday.
Maybe.
At that fountain.
I figured you were already there. So my bad. Nobody kill me for spoiling the Great Fairy.
No.
Yeah, anyway. Then a female voice says, I've waited so long for a girl to play with. We can see a figure darting around through the trees until it pops up just behind Liv. It's Siren Sarah. And I think she's my least favorite.
Oh.
She's basically a full-size, terrifying version of Tinkerbell with, like, giant eyes and white hair.
Ooh.
Want to see my treehouse? Sarah asks. Nuh-uh, not tonight, girlfriend, Liv says before throwing a punch. Now, what really sucks about Sarah is that she's quick and she low-key crawls around like a spider. It's really uncomfortable to look at. But Liv stays alert and she's trying to, like, get at Sarah, but Sarah manages to dart away before she can ever land a punch. Sarah starts singing Ring Around the Rosie, of course, as we see flashes of her through the trees. Then in a split second, we see her dart across the screen, taking Liv with her. Liv screams out. Nick hears that scream, and so do her friends outside. Chris is like, guys, we gotta go in and save her. And they've been out here smoking a blunt, by the way, because that's a good idea right now.
Great.
Bobby says he's not interested and he just wants to go home. But then his girl, Kathy, decides she's gonna go in and save Liv. She starts climbing up the ladder and she is wearing this very, very tiny short jean skirt. Mm. So Bobby's like, whoa, baby, everybody else look away. Cause like her ass is like just out as she goes up the ladder. It's a moment that's very important to the plot.
Of course.
Also, Kathy is like, she also has this like leopard print fuzzy coat on and she's chewing her bubble gum. Like that's, you know, she's got the big hoop earrings. There's a message being sent here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Nick has made his way to the source of the scream and is inspecting an oil-covered leaf on the ground of the forest area when Liv falls from the fake foliage above right on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
Liv immediately cuts to the chase. We need to get out of here right now. Like, let's go. She's explaining what just happened to him when he decides he's heard enough and he just turns and walks away without a word.
As expected.
All the friend group have made it up on the roof now. Chris has taken the lead and says the best plan of action is that they all go in, split up, find Liv and this janitor guy, and get out. They all bicker about essentially nothing, mostly that Chris is blind because he really likes Liv and he's not thinking straight, whatever, it's dumb, no one cares.
Yeah.
Bobby decides he's outie, but Chris tackles him while he's walking away.
Oh my god.
And the two of them crash through the ceiling and into the ball pit below in Sideways Wonderland.
Yeah. Were you allowed to go in the ball pit as a child?
I was. Were you not?
They grossed my mom out. She's like, there's definitely pee in there. She didn't really.
No, she's so real for that. I don't know how often they clean those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they even have them. You're thinking of McDonald's as well? Because I only like experienced or saw them really there.
I saw them at a couple amusement parks, but
yeah,
they are definitely disgusting.
Yeah. But they're fun.
Yeah, even to this day. Like, I went in a ball pit this year.
Where?
A museum in New York. It was like an interactive museum
in
New York City.
Well, I did go into the sprinkle pit at the Museum of Ice Cream, which is probably kind of along the same lines of unhealthy.
Honestly, that scares me a little more because I'm just like, it's going to be giant. Like, okay. I'm picturing literal sprinkles.
They're like giant plastic sprinkles. No, not real sprinkles. Okay. That would be weird.
Yeah, that would be really weird. But, okay, big sprinkles. I'm down. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then actually the rest of the ceiling caves in.
Okay.
And like the whole group falls into the ball pit. So
great.
And this was here now.
Entirely unnecessary, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
These freaking boys.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. This entire scene is just like, oh my God, shut up.
Yeah.
The whole time. I'm just like, I don't care. What are we fighting about?
Mm-hmm.
Liv just walks in the room and is like, oh, okay, what happened here? And she's annoyed because they were supposed to be looking for a way out and now they're all trapped inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. Then the stage turns back on and the animatronics begin their show again.
Hooray.
Yay. Sarah's back up there and Liv wants to go up and stab her because she's like, oh, this bitch. But just before she can, Nick shows up and pulls her back. Liv's frustrated because she's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? He's not listening to anything I say. And Aaron notices that there's a couple animatronics missing. And then he sees the overflowing trash bags full of Ozzy and Gus's parts by the door. Oh, that's badass, he says, looking at Nick. Nick walks away, and everyone but Bobby and Kathy follow him. Kathy's low-key entranced by this place. She thinks it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And the animatronic crew has started singing about the super happy fun room. And Bobby sees a sign indicating the super happy fun room.
Right.
And he looks at Kathy all seductively and is like, let's go. And then Kathy bites her lip and pulls him that way. So they're going to go to the super happy fun room.
So
together.
Is the situation that most of the friend group doesn't think that there's a real danger here?
No, they are. I think they're all very confident that there is real danger here.
Okay, so they know there's real danger.
Yes.
Just don't give a shit.
They just don't care.
Okay, cool.
Bobby and Kathy are not the brightest of the group.
Yeah. Okay, I think they'll be dying now.
They might. It's really unclear what might happen. So everyone else is back in the kitchen, again, where Liv is still trying to get through to Nick. She knows the story that they told him. If he cleans the place, they'll fix his tires, whatever. But they've told this same story to many others before him. It's all a lie. Nick is here to be a human sacrifice.
Okay.
Yeah. While Liv is telling him all of this, he's just like coiling up a cable in the corner across the room looking very uninterested. Mm-hmm. But Liv isn't giving up. And in fact, she is going to tell us now about the dark history of this town and how it all started here at Willy's Wonderland. The funny thing about like the way this story starts out is she's like, Willy's was built back in 1996. And I'm like,
that's like so long ago for sure.
The way they say it, it's like, I'm like, whoa.
It's like very clearly these are people that were born in like 2005.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. So this place was opened in 96 by a man named Jerry Robert Willis, a sick and sadistic serial killer. Jerry went out of his way to find other sickos and hired them to work alongside him at Willy's. Now, Jerry would find unsuspecting families and offer them a private show in the Super Happy Fun Room. They'd get a special cake and a show from Willy the Weasel, aka Jerry in the costume. The party would always end with Jerry murdering the entire family. Now, a pile of missing persons reports and some sus smells coming from inside Willy's had the law looking to investigate the place. Jerry and his crew, they refused to be taken alive, so when the police arrived and entered the Super Happy Fun Room, they discovered that Jerry and all of the other workers had done a satanic suicide ritual.
Oh.
Yeah. So Jerry was like laying smack dab in the middle of a pentagram, and mm-hmm. all of the others were laying dead around him with like cups spilled over like they drank something. Now, people familiar with these types of rituals have speculated that they had transferred their souls into the animatronics themselves.
I see.
Yes. And Willy's then reopened 10 years later, mm-hmm. Tex being the new owner. People reported weird things from the start, such as the animatronics moving on their own or saying weird things that they shouldn't. And then also, you know, some said the animatronics were killing and feasting on the customers.
As they do. Like, sometimes you just have to risk that for mm-hmm. a ball pit, you know?
Risk it for the ball pit.
Yeah.
Is what I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
So after many reported incidents, Willy's was forced to close again. Now, why doesn't Tex just destroy the place? Well, because Willy the Weasel convinced him to make a deal with the devil.
Oh.
Anyway, we're going to check in with Bob and Kathy.
Oh.
They have made their way into the Super Happy Fun Room.
Right.
And Kathy is intrigued, knowing this is where those people killed themselves all those years ago. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
She slips off her fuzzy cheetah print jacket and puts on a birthday crown. Is it weird that I'm getting really turned on right now?
Yes.
She says to Bobby, right? Just a little. Maybe.
Just a little.
And Bobby looks her up and down and is like, oh, you a freak freak, he says.
Freak freak.
Freak freak.
Wow.
And then they start passionately kissing because this is the best place for that.
I agree.
Now, Nick, he's still cleaning that kitchen. And Liv is like, hello, are you listening to me at all? The stage kicks back on and the crew is singing again. And this draws everyone back into the main room. Not Bobby and Kathy, though. They've got better things to do.
You know what she should have done?
What should she have done?
We should have just bought a freaking crossbow. You know, show up. When they're on the stage, bop, bop, bop.
Boop, 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 boop. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that there's a ton of logic in this movie.
That's okay.
One of my favorite logistical pieces is that they found multiple ways to get in, but can't find any ways to get out.
Right. Like, what if we just went back
the way we came?
Right.
But no.
Or we could break a window. I think that would be okay.
We pull some boards off and then break the window. Like, it's definitely... But no.
Okay.
But no. So Willie, there's this, the birthday song he's singing, but he changes the lyrics to, "It's your birthday, let's kill everyone." And mm-hmm. then he, like, shuts down and his voice distorts and all the lights go out. And then a single light pops back on over Willie. He starts singing a new song. And this song is about six little chickens.
Ooh,
in a line.
I do love a spotlight song.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Oh, nothing will beat freaking, what is it, Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm not thinking any thoughts.
Nope.
About anyway. That movie.
Anyway. So Willie's singing this song about six little chickens in a line who happen to wander into the weasel's den. Now the weasel will feast upon them. And he's singing. And then the last line of the song hits and Willie says, "Whoops, now five little chickens at the end of the line."
Oh.
And at that moment, Nighty Knight appears behind Aaron and sends his ginormous sword right through his torso.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Big sad. Aaron falls to the ground and it really is GG for him because that was like a big ass sword and he is bleeding out there right. on the ground.
How close are they to the stage? They're...
Yeah, but like, I don't know, somehow Nighty like got off the stage and like
it's a sneak attack.
Them. Yeah, it's like sneak attack vibes.
Dang it.
He just like magically appears behind him. Yeah. So, sorry about that. Liv pushes Nighty to the ground and tells Chris and Dan to get out of here, and they reluctantly listen. Liv stays behind a moment looking down at Aaron. She realizes it's too late for him, and she just says, "I'm sorry."
Mm.
Back in the kitchen, Nick's enjoying himself a punch soda, is playing pinball. He's oblivious and having a good time. He doesn't care. Bobby and Kathy are now having sex in the super happy fun room.
Yes.
And Kathy keeps stopping because she thinks something is watching them from the corner. We don't see what it is, though.
Yeah, maybe we should just stop.
We could.
If you think that someone's watching you from the corner in this super happy fun room in the animatronic palace.
So you don't agree with Bobby, who insists that whatever it is, they should just give it a good show anyway?
That's so crazy. That's
you don't
so
agree
crazy.
With that sentiment
no,
right there?
I don't think this is the moment to be kinky. I don't think so.
Maybe not. Dan has found his way into some other room where he runs into Tito the Turtle. Liv's trying to escape Nighty.
Wait, I need to know about Tito the Turtle. Is he standing on two? Is he standing up on 2 feet? Okay.
He's on 2 feet.
Okay.
He has like a sombrero on.
All right.
So yeah, he's Spanish.
Perfect.
Wondering. Yeah, so Liv's fighting Nighty. Chris hides in Gus's arcade. So we're all split up now, except for Bobby and Kathy. And there's a nice strobe light effect happening where Dan is. He's backed himself into a corner where 1 second Sarah isn't there, the next she is. Her face gets all distorted and creepy as she leans down over Dan and we cut away.
Oh.
Chris has decided he's going to call 911 from his spot in the arcade.
I'm sorry. We've been able to call 911 this entire time?
This entire time.
And, the thing is that Liv doesn't think the police are going to help.
That's true.
Because she's kind of like a troublemaker. Well, they perceive her as one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would say we could have called sooner still.
Yeah, it's not the most outrageous thing.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, I don't know. I mean,
it's okay.
That's the biggest question. What are we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Chris calls 911. And the ringing of the phone actually wakes up both Sheriff Lund and Evan, who have fallen asleep at their desk. But Lund picks up the phone. "I did something stupid," Chris says. "We're at Willie's." Lund slams the phone back down on the receiver. Evan looks at her like, what's that about?" "Prank call," Lund says.
Okay.
Then the phone rings again. They both stare at it. Evan offers to pick it up, but the sheriff mumbles, "People made their beds, they gotta lie in them." Evan kind of chuckles. "Pretty sure the saying is protect and serve, Sheriff." The phone goes to voicemail. And Chris's voice comes through the speaker. "Liv brought us here." Lund grabs the phone and holds it to her ear. "Get your asses out of there, son," she says, and then hangs up. Hmm. She grabs a gun, tosses it to Evan. "Put your balls on. We're going to Willie's."
Okay.
Back with Dan, Dan is still in the strobe room with Sarah and Tito the turtle.
Yes.
Who are really just messing with him, like between the flashes and the lights, they're moving. You know, mm-hmm. you know the vibes. Mm-hmm. Sarah does a cartwheel, like wow. flip across the room, and then her feet land on Dan's shoulders, like around his neck. And then she somehow manages to like flip back and throw him through the air back into a foam pit.
Whoa.
And then she and Tito just like immediately start feasting on his body.
Oh.
And so RIP Dan.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just like a quick one.
Well, how did the cartwheel look?
Really dramatic.
Cool.
And interesting. I don't know how she like, she those leg muscles gotta be crazy for yeah. her to like flip back and whip him over. It's wild stuff. Yeah. Liv is still doing her best to avoid Nighty when Nick finally appears and steps in. Nick grabs Nighty and slams him into the wall, and he continues to bash his head against the wall as oil sprays everywhere. He then throws Nighty to the ground and decapitates him with his own sword.
Wow.
Nick stands there covered in oil, and he and Liv share intense eye contact yet again, mm-hmm. where it feels like Nick is like, fuck yeah, see, I did that, and Liv is both impressed and terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bobby and Kathy are still having a grand old time in the Super Happy Fun Room. Wow. While Artie the alligator watches on from the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of tilts his head and Kathy sees this. Bobby, that thing just moved, she says, panicked.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Bobby looks over and is like, where did it go? Because I guess it disappeared now. So, of course, Artie pops up just behind Bobby and joins in on the fun. He bites into Bobby's shoulder and the blood sprays all over Kathy.
Mm.
She backs away as Bobby tries punching Artie off himself, but it's no use. Artie just keeps feasting away, chomp, 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 until Bobby is no more. Kathy is screaming and trying to get the door to open, but it won't budge. Nick and Liv turn down the hallway of the Super Happy Fun Room as Liv is saying she really needs help finding her friends when they hear Kathy scream. Liv runs for the door and Nick, nonchalantly, follows after her, but the screams have stopped.
Oh no.
The door is locked and Liv can't get it open. So Nick does his badass slow motion kick that sends the door flying into the room. Now, unfortunately, what they see on the other side is a blood-soaked room where the dead bodies of both Bobby and Kathy lay.
Aww.
As Artie continues to eat them up.
I'm a little sad about Kathy.
Yeah, she was trying a little bit.
Because she just seemed, at least she seemed nice.
Yeah, she was good.
She's like, a little, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think I just liked her coat.
That's fair.
Yeah.
She had a lot of personality.
Right, yeah. She stood out to me amongst the friends.
Yes, all of the dudes are so boring.
Yeah.
All four of them.
The same guy.
Nothing.
Copy-paste. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, Artie sees Nick and makes a beeline for him now. But you already know how this is gonna end. The fight ensues mm-hmm. and Nick pins Artie to the floor, punching him back and forth across his snout or like whatever that's called.
You know, yeah.
Like so he's like, boom, boom, boom. Then he grabs the top and bottom of his mouth and like stretches it open. And then Artie's tongue comes out and is like flailing around. This is the first time Artie has a tongue. So it's like clearly like, ooh, let's give him a tongue for this scene. So it comes out. It's like waving around. And Nick is like trying to force open the mouth. And then he does. He forces it until it breaks. And then he reaches down Artie's throat and pulls out some mechanical shit. And it's RIP Artie the alligator.
Sweet.
Another one down. Liv's like standing there just watching it, trying to process like what the hell is happening. And she looks at Bobby and Kathy and says, I'm sorry, before following Nick out of the room. The power in the arcade room kicks on now. This is where Chris has been hiding. Cammy the chameleon enters the room saying,
ooh.
Hello, little boy. You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm not the same as the others. Chris buries himself farther in his hiding place, hoping not to be seen. Cammy continues to yap about how the others are so mean. She's trapped in this body and she wants to be free. But she doesn't expect anyone to believe her. I hoped that you were different, Cammy says. Chris sits up and introduces himself to the animatronic.
God. Oh my God. All right.
Yeah.
We are not sad when he dies either.
Right. Trust me, Chris. You know you can, says Cammy. Chris approaches the chameleon and says that everything she's saying is true, then maybe she could help him out. Help her move on to the next life. Cammy's like, yes, of course, it's true. And she's more than willing to answer any questions Chris may have about the other side, so long as he helps her. Sirens wail in the distance, so we're going to check in the cop car. Evan needs to be filled in on what's happening before they get there.
Yeah, please.
Because he thinks they're on their way to catch some kids, like, vandalizing Willies. Right. But Lund is like, no, it's Willie you need to be worried about. And Evan's like, ah, ha, ha, very funny. This is a funny prank. But Lund assures him this is no prank and explains some more lore for us. Everyone in town knew something supernatural was going on at Willie's back in the day, and they tried to tell people, but no one believed them. Everyone thought they were just all crazy. So Tex actually hired a demolition crew to destroy Willie's. But the day before the demolition, the contractor was found dead in his bed, quote, as chewed up as a McDonald's hamburger.
Oh.
Yes. And after that happened, no one wanted to touch Willie's ever again. So they decided to just leave the place be. Let it rot. But the thing is, the animatronics, they got hungry. So they left the place at night and found innocent townsfolk to satisfy their appetite. The town was left with two options. Either go to war with the machines or make a deal.
Oh my
god.
So
what did they do? They made a deal.
Embarrassing. Just break them up.
Just break them up on your knee. Like Nicolas Cage. That's it.
Well, because how many? There's only eight or however
there's
many.
There's only eight.
You have a whole town.
Yeah. Nah, be too much.
Against these eight animatronics. And you have, like, guns and stuff.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, that's too hard. Like, I think we have to make a deal with them.
We do.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So what the animatronics are going to do, they're going to leave the people of the town alone so long as the town agrees to feed them, which is how they cooked up the ruse we've seen them use here against Nick.
My god, that's so crazy.
Like, just feed the animatronics people who pass through town. It's fine.
Yeah,
no biggie. They used this plan against many innocent people who they hoped wouldn't be missed. They considered them people with low moral character, whatever
that's
means.
Crazy.
Yeah. And sometimes there were also just people who were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we actually get a flashback to the couple we saw in the opening scene of the movie. They had broke down on the side of the road with their daughter and were offered the same deal as Nick. We know what happened to them. Mm-hmm. They were killed by the animatronics. But what about their daughter? When Tex and Lund went to check the place out the next day, they found the little girl hiding in the supply cabinet. Lund went ahead and brought her home. And yes, this little girl was Liv. Yes.
Wow.
As much as she pisses me off, she says, I couldn't live with losing that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of Act Two.
Okay.
Okay. The lore goes crazy.
Yeah, the lore is something. The lore is something. I can tell, though, this is a really fun watch.
Yes.
But you just cannot get hung up on anything.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It doesn't, and I appreciate at least that the movie knows that. It's
yes.
not like
in tone.
It's like, no, you should believe this. It's like, nah, we get it. We get what's going on here. It's fine.
Yeah.
I have four questions for you in the second act. Would you choose not to go inside Willie's to get Nick out? And this is as, I guess, Liv specifically.
As or... Liv.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go with Liv.
Choose not to go. Like if I'm Liv, I'm going to go at like a 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think you're gonna go in there?
Yeah, because I have, this is just crazy, and it's like I feel like I would feel so crazy as her with the whole town doing this deal, and you're just like, hello, like no. In her position, I just would go in.
Yeah, I mean, I gave myself a 41, so like yeah. I'm pretty much right there.
Yeah,
I get it. She's kind of made it her mission, and now you know a little bit about her backstory as well.
Yes, like helps. Yeah, lost her parents to them, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You found a way into Willie's. Could you find a way out?
Yes.
Yeah. There's just, they keep showing these instances of like the windows are boarded up, but there's like holes so you can like see outside and stuff.
Right.
And like, I'm sure there's something in there you could break the boards off with.
Right.
Climb back up into the vent, stack some stuff up. You got tables, you got chairs.
Or like, we could like bring a bomb or something. I don't know where you would buy one or like buy some dynamite.
Like, go to Walmart. What are you talking about? Excuse me.
But like the fact that she's going in.
Yeah.
Like choosing to go in. It's like come prepared. You know what I mean? Or like bring.
Right.
There's things that like can break locks and stuff.
Mm.
Just bring something with you.
Be prepared. Yeah. If you're going to be coming here, you might as well be prepared.
Yeah. I'm going to go like 88.
Yeah. I went 89. So yeah. Like we're in the same boat on that one. Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
You know what this is going to be, don't you? Do you avoid...
choose to have sex.
Do you avoid getting room. Frisky in the super yeah. happy fun room?
Yeah. No, I like actually 99.
Yeah, I put 99 as well.
Yeah.
This is a question we come upon I feel like a lot. We've been here.
Yeah.
And usually I'm lower than 99. Not that much lower, but there are a lot of instances like, oh, would you sneak off from the party?
Blah, blah. Exactly. That's different. This is no.
No.
Like, there's so much going on. I actually can't. It's one of the more ridiculous moments where like characters just decide to have sex in the middle of a horror movie.
Yes. Probably one of the most ridiculous that's ever existed.
Yeah.
All right. Last question of the act. As Dan, can you stay alive in the strobe room while being hunted by Tito and Sarah?
Tito and Sarah. That's hard.
Mm-hmm. I would say Tito, not super intimidating.
I can imagine. Okay.
Sarah, intimidating.
Yes. Like, she just whipped herself at me and all of a sudden I'm dead. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when she decides to come for you, like, it feels like it's kind of over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to go low here. I'm going to go probably like a 19.
23.
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah. I feel like we were very similar this entire act.
Yes.
So we should have very similar scores.
Mine came down a little bit from my All last right. one. Because last one I had 65. Now I have 60.
All right. Mine is a 63. So yeah. Mine definitely went up because I was much lower in the first.
Yes.
But I was being in the exact same spot for act 2. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Whew, final act.
Okay. So this is what I think is going to happen.
Please.
Liv and Nick, last people standing. They're going to successfully kill everyone, including Willie.
Mm.
But then the last shot of the movie is going to be like Willie, like, eyes snap open. He's actually alive. That's uh-huh. my guess.
Okay. I
love
it.
Based on the energy so far.
I love it. I think that is a good guess based on energy. I do. All right. So Cammy, the chameleon, is still trying to reason with Chris here. And Chris is really all in. I can show you what's on the other side if you can help me get there, Cammy says. Just then Liv walks in and sees this and her eyes go wide. Chris is like, oh, Liv, don't worry. We're going to make a deal. Cammy sticks out her tongue and wraps it around Chris's throat, squeezing, okay. and breaks his neck.
Yeah.
And I wrote, RIP Chris, you moron.
Exactly.
Because what?
What are you thinking?
What? I can't even tell you how, like, uninteresting all of the male characters are as, like, ensemble cast members.
Yeah.
Like, it is probably one of the least interesting ensemble groups I've ever seen. And it's fine because it's not the point. Like, there's so much going on with the animatronics that it works. Like, you don't.
But it's
that
still
much.
Noticeable.
It is. I'm like, I just don't care about you.
Yeah.
Whatever. So Liv stares at the scene in front of her as Cammy turns around. Want to play, bitch? She says. Nick walks in behind Liv and just immediately literally walks up and just like puts his fists up like, all right, here we go. Like, I'm ready to go.
All right.
But then his watch beeps. Oh. So he's like, oh, okay. Guys, so he hands Liv the box cutter and then just like runs out of the room. He needs his punch. And Liv is standing there and she's like, oh my God. But then she realized what she has to do.
Okay.
Nick has literally gone into the back room to chug his punch and also play some pinball because he has
no
time
way.
For that. Yes.
I mean, it is so fun. Like, how can you just walk past a pinball machine?
I know. And that's, I think he's got like this magnetic pull to the pinball machine because like he's back there. He's got to play a little.
He's kind of real for that.
Yeah. So Liv readies her knife to attack, but Cammy uses her tongue to knock it out of her hands.
Mm.
Now she's got to use her fist. She punches at Cammy a couple times and then tries to run. Cammy uses her tongue to trip her up. So then Liv grabs Cammy's tongue and flips her over.
Oh, good.
Liv then gets a hold of the knife again and starts stabbing Cammy multiple times in the stomach.
Okay.
Doesn't do too much.
Oh.
So Cammy like then corners Liv. When suddenly Nick reappears again and he gets his hands on Cammy's tongue,
uh-huh.
he flings Cammy around the room with the tongue, slamming.
Okay. I wanted him to just helicopter her.
Wish they could have done that. Probably a budget, you know, a budget issue there. Slams Cammy into things, choking her out until she falls to the ground. Liv and Nick drag this half-alive Cammy down the hall by the tongue. And Nick wants to drop it by the front door with the other corpses, but the door actually swings open.
Oh, of course. Okay.
"Drop the lizard," Lund says, cocking her gun. She gets Nick down on his knees and holds him at gunpoint as she apologizes to Willie for the mess.
Why is she stupid? Like, you have someone here who's willing to take care of your problem. Like, this is still a problem. Do you want people to keep dying? Because I thought they were just cowards that didn't want to, like,
no, they are.
Shoot these animatronics in the head for some reason.
They really are.
But now on top of it, it's like, you have someone here who's taking care of this problem for you, and you're just like, no, we can't have that. We have to keep the deal going.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Maybe she just doesn't believe that he can take on Willie.
I feel like that probably. I mean, it's also like, it's like very quick. I don't know how much she knows.
That's true.
Right when she gets in there. Mm-hmm. But even so, she still gets him down on his knees, apologizes to Willie for what's going on. And then Liv tries to get Lund to let him go, saying like, he's a good guy. There's no need for this. But Lund doesn't care. She wants Evan to cuff him so they can leave him here.
Oh my goodness.
Evan doesn't want to do that.
Good.
Yeah, right? But Lund tells him that if they don't do what needs to be done, no one in the town will be safe, including his own family. Lund instructs Evan to get Liv out of here, and she tries to fight back, saying they can't leave Nick here, but it's no use. Lund, Evan, and Liv head outside to the cruiser. "Is this what you did to my parents?" she asks Lund. "You monster." Lund tells Evan to go drop Liv off in a cell and then come back for her. She wants to stick around to make sure everything goes smoothly here. Inside Willie's, Nick has been left with his hands cuffed behind his back, and both Cammy, because Cammy did not die, and Sarah seem ready to go after him. Nick gives a little kick to the jukebox, and a nice country rendition of Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes plays over the loudspeakers.
That's nice.
Isn't it? They stare each other down, and oh, let's check in with Liv and Evan, though. They're driving in the cruiser, right? And Liv's trying to both reason with Evan and also make him feel guilty for leaving Nick back there. Evan suddenly slams on the brakes of the cruiser. "Shut up, I ain't no murderer," he screams at Liv. And she's like, "Well,
you are.
What are you then?"
Yeah.
"Because you are absolutely complicit in this." And he goes back at her saying, "Well, you've lived with the sheriff all these years and it seems like you've done nothing to stop it." Liv's like, first of all, living with her is the most horrible experience you could imagine. And secondly, actually, I am trying to do something about it. I've been trying to burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
And she continues to make Evan feel super guilty. And finally, he says, "I'm going to set things right. You'll see." Just then, the claw of Tito the Turtle reaches through the window.
Oh.
And grabs at Evan's throat. Oh. And I don't know if he's been there the whole time, but Tito is on top of the car.
Okay.
So I think he's just been riding along.
I was going to say, aren't we moving? Like,
we did just stop, but we like moved away from Willis at this point. So he's up there on the top of the car, and he has a bit of a death grip on his throat. Oh, feet. Tommy's arms and chins, and the song is still playing at Willie's while Nick is about to face off with Cammy and Sarah.
Right.
Sarah does some gymnastics across the room toward Nick, who just headbutts her, and she goes down. He then trips up Cammy, who falls next to her. So Tito's managed to pull Evan out of the cruiser and throw him down on the pavement before feasting away on his body. Liv grabs the gun and points it at Tito. "Give me the keys," she demands. Tito looks to her and speaks in Spanish. "Ah, at your service, Miss Liv," he says. Liv tries to shoot, but Tito opens his hand to reveal that he took the shells out of the shotgun. Okay, darn.
Of course.
Hands, fingers, legs and lips. Oh. So Nick is like sitting on Sarah's chest, squeezing her head with his knees.
Okay.
Girly Pop's struggling, flailing around, trying to get free, but she is no match for Nick's thighs.
Wow.
He twists one way and another, metal creaks, and Sarah goes limp.
Wow.
Yeah. Nick stands up and just pulls his hands. Oh, yeah. He pulls his hands apart with such force that the cuffs just like break apart off of him.
Okay.
He now faces Cammy, whose head he grabs and just literally twists it off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then he stares up at Willie, who stands motionless, center stage.
Yeah.
"Sucks to be you, chica," says Tito the Turtle, as he enters into hand-to-hand combat with the teenage girl. But
emphasis
Liv,
on teenage.
But Liv uses the shotgun to her advantage, just like hitting Tito with it. And she hits him over and over as he begs her to stop. Slowly, Tito's voice fades away and Liv walks on. So Lund is sitting in a pickup truck outside Willie's, just kind of resting till all this stuff kind of works itself out. And Nick has bagged up Cammy and put on a new fresh shirt. Also gone back to cleaning.
Oh my God.
By the way.
That's so spooky.
He's like, he's working on the main room, putting all the tables and chairs back into place, scrubbing surfaces, cleaning every nook and cranny until the place is essentially spotless.
Wow.
He plays some more pinball.
Of course.
While he listens to some good music and drinks his punch. Gets the new high score and he pumps his fist into the air like, victory.
I like that he like still emotes, you know?
He does.
Despite not talking.
Yes, he's very, he shows a lot of emotion alone, not with other people, but like when he's playing pinball, he's like into that.
Yeah.
You know? Well, he's good to go now. So he walks out the front doors. Yes, they are unlocked. He did not need to stay, but he did.
Okay.
He drops the corpses in the dumpster.
Yep.
Because, yeah, let's get rid of those.
Yeah.
This wakes up Lund and she goes, that GDSOB. And Nick sees her sitting there and he just like gives her a little wave before heading back to the door. Lund is low-key flabbergasted. And then we just cut to her like cocking the gun behind Nick. Hold it right there, boy, she says before directing him to go back inside. She's pissed that he did all of this because now Willie's gonna be really mad.
Sure.
Willie, by the way, has disappeared. Good. Is no longer up on stage. All you had to do was die, Lund says to Nick. Was that so hard? She also blames him for the death of the 5 kids.
Oh.
Which I'm like,
I think that's on you, girly pop.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, where? I don't know. She calls for Willie because she's ready to hand over Nick so that Willie can have his meal. Willie, come and get it, she screams. The lights go out momentarily, and then Willie appears behind Lund. She turns and sees him, but has no time for much else. Willie swipes his hand at her and literally cuts her clean in half. Whoa. At the torso. Yeah.
Well, R.I.P.
R.I.P., I guess.
Yep.
Willie then charges for Nick, picking him up and throwing him into the wall. His body hits the "it's your birthday" button, so confetti cannons go off. Nick is very disoriented, and Willie is able to swipe at him quite a few times, leaving some gashes with his claws. One final swipe sends Nick flying into the ball pit.
Mm.
His body sinks into the balls, and then there is no movement. Willie looks over the pit, seeming satisfied, and walks away.
And
but of course, it's exactly the hand. We see Nick's hands reach up from the ball pit and grab to the edge. Can't take him out that easy. Nick heads back to the kitchen and fills his burlap sack with the remaining cans of punch.
Mm-hmm.
He tapes 2 sticks together, a good weapon, I guess, and then back out into Willie's where confetti continues to fall. Willie stomps into the room and the two stand face to face yet again. Willie lets out a growl and swings for Nick, who blocks the blow with his stick contraption. Nick is swinging and swanging his stick and his sack of soda at Willie. Bam, bam, bam. Get him, Nick. Willie's no match for a stick and some soda pop.
Right.
Nick gets him down on the ground and repeatedly swings that sack at Willie's head. Oil spurts out and Willie sparks. Wham, wham, wham. Again and again, Nick's not letting up. The music is so intense. And then Willie...
and then Willie.
And then Willie.
You know what I like to imagine?
Yes. Well, no, I don't, actually.
Like, the amount of times you're saying Willie, I'm starting to think of AJ Willie.
Oh.
Yeah. And now...
And well, maybe not all, but...
It's a little disturbing because I don't want her to be the villain. But...
All right.
I can't help the images in my head right now.
I'm just, like, really enjoying this, though, because it's, like, a weasel. It's, like, a big orange weasel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's AJ Willie. And now there's a lot of mixed images.
She would kill the cosplay.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, my God. It would be giving Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gee.
There's something here.
There's something. We're cooking. We're cooking. So Willie ceases moving. Nick grabs his head and pulls it clean off. Before then tossing it on the ground like it was nothing.
Wow.
Easy. It was a very quick fight. Nothing crazy.
I'm standing by my theory.
Mm-hmm.
Those eyes on that head.
Okay, outside, Tex has arrived, and so has Jed. And believe it or not, they actually did bring the Camaro. Jed is doing donuts with it in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out, and he's all hype, like, yeah, woohoo, that's fun. And then he tells Tex that he got it all tuned up for him, and he tosses him the keys. Always nice to add another toy to the collection, Tex says. But wait a second, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
One of the trash bags is moving in the dumpster.
Oh.
Oh dear, it's Siren Sarah.
Of course it is.
Is, exactly. She has woken up and she never died. She claws her way out of her trash bag. Tex walks up to the front door and peers through the boards. He can see that the main dining room is spotless.
Uh-huh.
Son of a bitch, he says, shocked. Sarah sneakily jumps out of the dumpster and spots both the old lighter and the gas cans on the ground nearby. Oh. Tex and Jed head on inside. Now, the song Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, for anyone aware, starts playing.
Amazing.
And we get these dramatic slow motion shots of Nick getting ready to head on out. He rips the duct tape off his face, looks around at his hard work, puts on his jacket, and then he meets Tex and Jed in the main room, and he simply puts out his hand, asking for his keys.
Mm-hmm.
Tex hands him over without a word.
Thank you.
Jed and Tex are just amazed, and they don't have anything to say. Nick kicks open the doors and heads outside, where he sees Liv standing in the parking lot. They share a moment before Nick jumps in his car, and Liv gets in the passenger seat. Nick starts up the car, turns on the radio, and speeds off just as Tex and Jed walk outside.
Oh.
I gotta tell ya, Tex says. My hat's off. That is one tough hombre. The two of them just start laughing together, and then Jed's like, oh my god, it's actually over! And they're super hype, and they're super excited. They jump in Tex's car and intend on going to the bar to celebrate. Tex says that now that the machines are gone, they can actually reopen this place.
Right.
But, ooh, Sarah appears in the rear view mirror. Oh, fuck me, Tex says. Thanks for visiting Willy's Wonderland, Sarah says cheerfully from behind the car, before lighting a soaked rag that, like, she shoved in the gas thingy. You know how that's a thing? I don't know how it works, but... yeah, the car explodes, wow. And actually, so does Sarah.
Okay, so she just wanted one last hurrah.
Yeah, she was just like, yeah, this will be fun.
Yeah.
Nick and Liv are driving down the road in very cool silence when Nick pops open a punch and hands it over to Liv. I said Sarah. No, he does not hand it to Sarah. He hands it over to Liv. Then they see Tito the turtle on the road ahead of them. He's back up.
Oh my God.
And they just floor it.
Yep.
They hit Tito, his body parts fly in every direction while Nick and Liv drive away. The film ends on a cartoon of Willy saying, remember, kids, the party never ends at Willy's Wonderland. The end.
Wow. Wow. Well, it really seems like they did it.
They did.
There's no loose ends.
No, I think they got everyone because Sarah blew herself up and they got Tito and they beheaded everyone else.
Wow. I'm surprised. So, but I'm happily surprised. I'm happy that we did it.
Yeah. I think it worked out. I have 6 questions to ask you for Act 3. All right. How unlikely are you to trust Cammy the chameleon?
100.
Okay.
Easy.
I put a 96.
Really?
I could be convinced. Like, very, really? Very, very, very unlikely.
Of course. Yeah, 96 is so high.
But I could be. I don't know.
No.
But you'd be a little smarter than me, and that's good. As Evan, would you turn against the sheriff as opposed to going along with everything? I'm thinking, like, early on, kind of like you find out what's going on, and you're like, whoa, I don't want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's hard. I mean, yeah, I would, but it's also hard because it's like, who do you go to? Because she's like the law.
Right. Yeah, no, I think this one's like kind of tricky because you probably aren't even going to believe her till you get there.
Right.
First of all. And then once you do, you're kind of screwed, I guess.
Yeah, I probably, at the very least, end up going with her to see what the situation is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I'll go 79.
Okay. I went 28.
Oh.
Because I just don't think... I think I would go along with it.
Wait, like, that's what I mean. Start. I mean it backwards.
Oh.
What's backwards?
21.
Yeah. Math.
Okay. You are handcuffed. Can you take on Sarah and Cammy simultaneously?
No, Sarah's scary.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go 3.
I did 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not really great.
No.
Can you take down Tito the turtle with an unloaded shotgun? Tito's the least intimidating.
Right. But we're like on the, we're driving and it's a lot going on at this point.
We're just like.
Well, we're stopped.
We're stopped. We're out of the car on the road.
Yeah.
And he's attacking us.
I think I can. I'm going to go 65.
Okay. I went 51.
Okay.
Because I think this is the one that I'd be willing to go over for. Because he's just, Tito's just,
Yeah.
Whatever, Tito. Whatever, Tito.
I can't wait to see these things.
Dude, you have to watch this. And yeah. I want to talk a little bit about that before, but two more questions.
Okay.
You managed to break free of your cuffs and escape the animatronics. Do you leave the building?
Yeah. Well.
You can't resist a mini game.
What about the pinball? I'll be high.
Yeah.
80.
Why?
Why? That means I leave, right?
Well, it leaves 20% of you not leaving the establishment when you can. You're just going to stick around and.
You think it should be even higher?
I did 99.
Okay, my thought process is like we're kind of getting close to killing them all.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like we have like very few situations left and I wait.
This is prior to Willie dying.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But who am I in this question?
Nick.
Bro, I'm on an ego trip.
Okay.
I just took out all these other guys. True. You bet your ass I can get Willie too.
Okay.
Well, and by you bet your ass, I mean 80. You know, I still am 80% likely to leave.
Yeah.
So I guess I can't be that confident when I say that. So I'm likely to leave, but also it's just like after I've gone through everything I've gone through, it's like I just want to finish it.
I get that.
Yeah.
You got to get that 100% blue ribbon achievement. Exactly. Haunting. Situation.
This is a blue ribbon Steam achievement mindset coming through
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. And I love that for you. Okay. This is the last question. Do you win a 1v1 against Willie with 2 sticks taped together and a sack of soda cans?
Yep. In the end, he literally just tore his head off.
Yeah. He just literally put his hands around the head and just ripped it up.
Like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
So we're going to go 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to go 7. So yeah. That's good for us. That is good for us.
Oof. My lowest yet.
This one might be kind of high for me, actually.
Ooh. I got a 45.
Okay.
My first under 50.
Not too bad. Oh, okay. Mine was a 48.
Wow. We came back together again.
Yeah, we did. We're hanging out. All right, let me get this overall average. This overall average is going to fall probably around where I expected.
Yes.
Okay. I have my overall score.
Me too.
What is yours?
53. What?
Mine's 52.
Dang it. So close.
But that does leave us with a 53% overall average. I think that's fair.
I agree.
Because
just
your
shoot
actual,
your shot, I guess, with this
your
one.
Actual battles.
Yeah,
you're not gonna go well, but there's a lot of opportunity to just not end up in those battles at
right.
all.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's fair.
Yep.
Wow. So what I do want to say about this movie before we head out, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my god, like this is what the hell is this?
Yeah.
What is this shit show? And then I'm writing the script and I'm rewatching it and I'm like, hold up. This might be a masterpiece.
Really?
Like, I might low-key love this movie. And not because it's good. Like, the kids are not very good.
Right.
But I think Sheriff Lund, because I really like Beth Grant.
Yes.
She's great. And then, like, Nick Cage's character is just so entertaining. Because
yes.
he literally does not say a word the entire film.
At first, that worried me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, brother. What's it's because I was worried that by not saying anything the whole time, he was going to be nonchalant the whole time.
Yeah.
Which there is like a humor to when he is nonchalant, but I feel like it's balanced well among other emotions and badassery happening with his character.
Yeah. No, he ends up being really fun. And then, like, I finished writing the script and I was like, I kind of want to get a Willy's Wonderland staff t-shirt because it's not a good movie. Like, nobody listens to this and be like, oh my God, banger movie. Right. Like, I, if you think so, that's awesome. And yes. I support you. But
it's fun.
Cassie, if you go watch this, yeah, you, I mean, you'll get the vibes.
Yeah.
You understand where it is. But I think this movie was really fun and I think it worked for a very goofy episode.
Yeah.
Of I'd Survive, which we needed.
We did.
We did some dark ones recently.
On accident.
On accident, we were like, bang, 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 dark.
We're like, wait. We got to get to.
Hold up.
We got to get some laughs back because it's been a lot.
We got Willy's. So wonderful. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us this week. As always, check out the links below to find our Instagram, Patreon, and Discord, where you too can fill out an interactable worksheet to get your own score. So let us know. Would you survive?